Would you open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, for the message tonight. A couple of you have asked why we didn't do the salute to the armed services today, and being Memorial Day, and we started about two years ago, I think it is now, honoring our veterans on Veterans Day, and so that's why we haven't done that today. We have so many folks in our church who have lost loved ones, I know that the pain, hurt stays with you. I found myself today thinking of my own mother, who has been gone now for 32 years, and it's difficult. But the reason that we haven't had the armed services emphasis is because we've been doing that on Veterans Day, and. We do need to pray for our troops, and let's bow our heads right now and pray. And several of our men that are in the armed forces are here today, tonight in the service. We're here this morning and again tonight. We are glad you guys are home and thank the Lord for you. But let's pray right now and ask God's blessings upon our country. Pray for God's blessings upon the men and women that are serving, and pray for the Lord to bless America once again. Father, we realize that Lord, as so goes the church, so goes the nation. And Lord, it grieves our soul that we have seen the church turn its back upon the book and turn its back upon the truth. Yet, Lord, there are still lights that are shining, and there are still churches that are holding forth the light of the gospel, and there's still some salt left in the country. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to realize the important role that we have as a church to keep the lights on and to keep the light shining brightly. Lord, we thank you for America. We thank you for your blessings upon our country. Lord, we also pray that you will bless our troops. Lord, we watch the news this afternoon and see reports of soldiers that are still being attacked, Lord, it grieves our soul to realize that there is such hatred that is being committed in the name of religion, in the name of God, and that people are losing their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll put a hedge around our troops. We thank you, Lord, for the men and women that serve and those that volunteer, Lord, to keep us free and help us to, Lord, understand that freedom is never free. There's always a price to be paid. And Lord, we're thankful for those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. Bless these families. Comfort their hearts on this day. Lord, encourage them. We thank you, Father, that we can come and pray and that there's power in prayer and there's comfort that is given. And Lord, you're the great comforter and able to do what no words can do. You're able to give what no speech can give. Lord, you're able to work from the inside and give that peace and give that comfort that is needed. So, Lord, bless and be with the families of those that are grieving today. Lord, we thank you for our country, and we just pray your blessings upon it. And, Lord, as we enter into full swing the election process, Lord, we pray that you will bless in that. And Lord, we pray that the right person will be chosen to and elected to be put in office to serve for the next 4 years. And Lord, especially we pray for the congressional seats. We pray, Lord, that you will just intervene. And Lord, not give us what we deserve, but Lord, give us what will preserve our freedoms. Lord, we pray for grace and pray for mercy, and just ask, Lord, that we will all do our part and put forth the effort to make sure that, Lord, we stay a free country and that we're able to preach the gospel without hindrance. And Lord, as we see one by one our rights and our freedoms being taken from us. Father, may it rouse us, may it stir us. And Lord, may we pray for America and pray for the leadership. And Lord, get involved in the election process, not just surrender and stand on the outside until the day comes when our freedoms are gone. But Lord, help us to realize that the men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, they've done it for a reason, and may their reason not be in vain because we sit back and do nothing. So, Lord, bless this country. Put your hand upon the United States of America once again. Lord, preserve our freedoms. Give us the boldness to work till Jesus comes. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. And now, Lord, as we read the text and then preach the message, we ask that you will bless it. Lord, as we close out this series of messages on Where's the Other Nine, put your hand upon it. And Lord, help us to see the truths that are presented this evening. May we purpose, Lord, that we're going to do all we can to win a lost and dying world. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of so many in this church that are not afraid to share the gospel. But Lord, embolden the rest of us. Give us that courage and strength that we'll not let any opportunities pass by. But Lord, do what we can to keep precious souls out of hell. Bless us now, Lord. Help me as I preach. I need your help tonight. And I pray you'll fill me with your spirit and enable and help me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, going back to verse 11, please. Let me read to you the passage of Scripture that I launched this series of sermons from. In verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Notice all 10 cried for mercy. Verse 14, "And when he saw them," again, you infer all 10, "he said unto them," all 10, "Go, show yourselves, all 10 of you, to the priest." And it came to pass, as they, all 10, are you getting the drift?
Yes.
All right, as they went, they were cleansed, all 10. Now, I emphasize that because I don't want you just to read over these verses and just think, "Oh, this cute little story." No, everything here is pointing to the truth. It is pointing to the obvious. Verse 15, "And one of them," not all 10, but just one of them, "when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, before I close this series of messages on the question, "Where's the other 9? I want us to go back to the text where we started, and I want us to think about one very clear, very real thing that happened here that I just cannot preach from this passage of Scripture without emphasizing this point. As I've told you throughout this study, for as long as there has been soul winning going on in the church, and for as long as preachers have preached the gospel and given an invitation and invited people to walk down an aisle and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for as long as this has been going on, folks have been asking the question, "Where's the other 9? I want you to understand that this is not just a 21st century phenomenon. I want you to understand that since the very beginning, since the very beginning of the church and the preaching of the gospel and the invitation for folks to pray and receive Christ as their Savior, church members have been sitting around and asking the question, "Where's the other 9? Now, in our messages on these Sunday nights, we have seen that some of them love the world. Where's the other nine? Well, some of them aren't here because they love the world. Just like Paul's friend Demas. Paul said to Timothy that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Why wasn't Demas there? Where was he? Well, he was out in the world. He loved the world more than he loved serving the Lord, and so he wasn't there. We have also seen that some of them were like Jonah. They were fleeing the Word of God, fleeing the will of God as it is revealed in the Word of God. And we learn that it is God's will for all of us to come to church, and it is God's will for all of us to fall at His feet and to thank Him and to praise Him for what He has done for us. We also learn that some of them are like Martha. Martha was just too busy. I mean, she just didn't have time to sit at Jesus' feet like her sister and listen and glean and learn and get all she could get. She was just too busy. And the Lord said to her when she complained about Mary, the Lord said to her, Martha, you are just encumbered about with too many things. And we have learned, we have seen in these lessons and saw in that sermon that night, that there are a lot of folks that aren't coming to church because they've got too much going on. They're too involved with Little League, and they're too involved with their lodge, and they're too involved with this and that, and they just got too many things going on. They're so occupied with life, they simply don't have time to attend church. Some of the nine, we then learn, were too enamored with sin. They are just enamored with their sin. They just, plainly speaking, love their sin. Oh, God will deal with them. God will spank them, as we learn, because, you know, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son. And there's not a week past that I don't see somebody that has gotten their spiritual spanking, and here they come running back, you know, and Pastor, can you help me? And the answer is always yes. I can help you if you will let the Holy Spirit help you. We can get this thing worked out. But there are some folks that are just too enamored with their own sin. And hopefully one day they'll repent of it and they'll not allow that sin to keep them from praising the Lord and giving the Lord what He deserves. And then last Sunday night we saw that plainly some are shipwrecked. They're shipwrecked. Their ship is no longer carrying the goods to the port. I mean, like Hymenaeus and Alexander, they're off on some tangent. They're off on some non-fundamental issue. They are following somebody's theory, you know. They read a book and it had something in it that they had never heard before, and so they jumped on the theory bandwagon. Or they're out here chasing somebody's ism down the street, and they'll never find that ism, by the way. Or they're out here, you know, hung up on somebody's interpretation of something, or some system of theology which was created by a man, by the way. Did I mention that? It was somebody's system of theology that it was created by a man, and they get all hung up on somebody's system of theology, and they are not falling at the Lord's feet with a thankful heart, and they are not giving the Lord what He's due because they somehow or another have gotten it all wrong. They think it's all about them, and they think that the world of the church and Christianity revolves around them and their theology and their ism and their schism and their division. They think it all revolves around them, and it's not long before they think they're the only ones going to heaven. They're the only ones that know the truth, and everybody else is a heretic. And then the next thing you know, they're not getting the goods to the port. They're like Hymenaeus and Alexander. Their little pet doctrine, their little opinion, their little ideology is what they're all about. You can't talk to them without them ramming their ideology down your throat. It identifies them. It labels them. It becomes who they are. Well, I'm tempted to just preach that one over. But tonight, I want to speak about something a little different. Now, we've looked at where's the other nine, and we've seen some of the places where they are. But I want to speak about something a little different tonight. I want you folks to notice that this one guy came back. And I just want to stop here tonight before I close this out and say thank God for the one guy that came back. Amen. Praise the Lord for the one fellow that came back. Now, I wish maybe two or three of them, well, truth is, I wish all 10 had stopped and when they turned around and started toward the priest and looked down at their formerly leprosy-covered skin, I wish they had looked down at their hands and their arms or their feet and their legs and realized that by their faith they were cleansed of their leprosy and then done what the one guy did and then just did a 180 and come running back and fall down at the feet of Jesus and just thank him for what he had done. I wish all 10 of them had done it. I really do. But I want to speak to you tonight on this one fellow that came back. I mean, praise the Lord, he came back. And I just want to say, thank God for all of you that are here today who came back. I mean, you got saved, and thank God you are here tonight on this Sunday, whatever the date is, the 25th. You're here on the 25th of May, 2008. Hallelujah, I got it right. You are here tonight, and I just want to praise the Lord that all of you are here. For you see, dear friend, the Lord depends upon at least one out of the 10 to come back and sit in the seats and tithe and sing in the choir and work the buses and teach the classes and work the nursery and worship and praise the Lord in the service. I mean, if you didn't come back, we, the Church of the Open Door, would be in serious trouble tonight. But thank God you came back. Now, I want us to consider this one man, this one out of the 10, who came back to thank Jesus for cleansing him. And I thought of about four things that I wanted to say. But I haven't preached a four-point sermon since Daisy was a pup. So really, I'm going to give you just two thoughts. He said, we'll do the rest of them next Sunday night. I might. I don't know. First of all, I want you to think about this, folks. Here's this guy comes back. And I want you just to picture this scene in your mind. I want you to picture this scene. Again, I don't know what was missing off. I don't know if his fingers were missing. I don't know if his hands were gone. I know what leprosy does. I know that it eats away the fingers and eats away the hands and eats away the forearm. I know that, you know, it gets on your toes and it eats your toes off and then it eats your feet off and then it eats your shins off. I know how terrible and horrible this disease is. But just picture him in your mind, would you? He turns to go to the priest and all of a sudden he looks down and let's say his left hand is gone. His right hand is covered in blisters and scabs, but his left hand is gone. And he looks down at his arm and all of a sudden he sees that, wow, the scabs are clear. I mean, they're gone. He looks down at his other hand that previously was just eaten up with leprosy and oozing and it just a horrible smell and a horrible sight. And all of a sudden, the top of his right hand is just as smooth as a baby's skin. And so he turns around and stops and he looks at it and he goes, oh my. And he comes hobbling back to where Jesus was. Maybe his left foot is gone as well. And he comes hobbling back and he falls down at Jesus' feet and just starts praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And I want you to think about something. I don't want you to think about the man that's there. I don't want you to think about the crowd that's watching. I want you just to stop for a minute and wonder, what was Jesus thinking? And that brings me to my first point. And I submit to you tonight that we can glean from what we read in this passage that the Lord Jesus values gratitude. Because immediately what he does is he looks. Now get the picture, folks. See it. He looks at this man who is at his feet and is praising God And what does Jesus say? He says, were there not 10 of you cleansed? Why doesn't the 10 come and do what you're doing? Folks, I submit to you that Jesus values gratitude. He expects us. He wants us to be grateful. The Lord Jesus is used to being worshiped and adored. I mean, He's used to it, folks. Think about it. When our Savior was in heaven, prior to Him coming and being born in Bethlehem's manger, He was constantly worshiped and adored as the eternal, holy Jehovah God of the Old Testament. You remember Isaiah 6. I preached from it just here recently about this vision that Isaiah had where he saw the seraphim hovering around the throne of God with their faces and feet covered, and they cried day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I mean, folks, day and night they hovered and they worshiped and they praised the Lord. Think about when He came to be born in Bethlehem's manger. On that night, when our Savior was born, and when the incarnation took place, the angels of heaven filled the sky, and they cried and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill to men." When He came up out of the water, when He was baptized, all of a sudden, here come a dove that fell upon His head. And a voice rang out. Remember what that voice said? It was the voice of God the Father. And that voice cried out and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." After the temptation, when the devil came at Him with every weapon from every angle, the Scriptures tell us that when it was all over, that the angels came and ministered to Him. Folks, I'm saying He is worthy of the praise, and He is always receiving it prior to coming into this world. I mean, heaven adores Him. Everything in heaven adores Him. He deserves to be worshipped. And I'm thinking that He's probably just standing there saying, "Well, I'm glad this one came. I wish the others would come. They sure need to worship me as well. I mean, I took care of them too. I wish they would have come," but they didn't. But thank God that one came. And I'm saying to you tonight, folks, that the Lord Jesus is used to being worshipped and praised. But when He came to dwell among men, that worship seemed to be abandoned, didn't it? That grieves my soul when you think about it. Let me remind you, John said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Look at verse 18 in our text. Jesus said, "There are not found that return to give glory to God." I mean, He recognized that this was glory that was given to God. "There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." You remember Jesus told the woman of Samaria, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him." I'm saying to you tonight, the Lord wants us to worship Him, and He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to be thankful. And when you, as a representative of the One, when you come back to church and you sit here and you glean from the Word and you pray and you say amen and you agree with the Word of God and you nod your head and you give your support to the Lord, you are doing that which is pleasing to the Lord. Now, when He came among us, we didn't praise Him, though, did we? You know, the Lord wants us to praise, but when He came amongst men, men didn't praise Him. Man, the highest of His creation on earth, created just a little lower than the angels of heaven, and yet because of sin, men didn't worship Him. Oh, how foolish are the sons of men. Instead, men use His name in vain. Listen, my friend, if you can't speak without using the Lord's name in vain, you ought to quit revealing your ignorance and just keep your mouth shut. I mean, if you can't speak without using God's name or the Lord's name in vain, then you ought not just say anything at all. Men use His name to curse. Men use His name to swear. But thank God, here is one out of the 10 who comes to fall at His feet and to worship. And folks, that is something all of us should do when we get saved. This man was cleansed of his leprosy. And he came to show his appreciation for what the Lord Jesus did. And I want you to realize that the Lord Jesus reached down into the hog pen of sin and one day lifted you out and cleaned you up and gave you a new heart and redeemed your precious soul from a devil's hell. And you ought to come back and you ought to say, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. There's something wrong with us when we don't. But realize the Lord values gratitude. And if you'll come back and fall at His feet and just bow before Him and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me and have a grateful, thankful heart, the Lord will admire your faith and He will start to teach you. He will start to train you. He will start to disciple you. He will start to help you. And you're going to end up like this guy in verse 19. The Lord not only will cleanse you of your spiritual leprosy, but He'll make you whole. Amen. And the whole point on this thing, what I've been trying to get you to see, is that if you come back to church and get under the sound of the gospel and get involved in some area of ministry, think about it. Here's this guy. He got cleansed. He comes back to the Lord. He has no fingers on his hand. The Lord said, where's the other nine? Were there not 10 of you? Where's the other nine? And nobody answered the question. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the Lord said, where's the other nine? He said, sir, thy faith hath made thee, watch, whole. And coming to church will make you whole. I mean, it'll get things straightened out for you. You say, well, Pastor, I got problems. Yep, and we got answers. You say, but Pastor, I need some help. Yep, we got the helper right here. We got the helper right here. I got word the other day that somebody was having a problem, and somebody said, well, why don't you go talk to the pastor about it? And here's what they said. They said, well, I know what he's going to say. He's just going to open the Bible. Amen! That's exactly what I'm going to do. Hey, folks, you don't need to hear my philosophy. You don't need to hear my opinion. I mean, good night. If you got a problem, who cares what I think? Or who cares what Pastor Stainer thinks? Or who cares what John Campbell thinks? Who cares what Alan Camperson thinks? The main thing is, what does God think? Yeah, we're going to take you to the book. Because this is what's going to make you whole. But folks, you need to realize the Lord values gratitude. And if you'll come back and fall on your face, the Lord will make you whole. He'll fix those things that are broken. I mean, he'll just turn things around for you. And you know, just about everybody in this room can testify to that truth. Turn back just a couple of chapters to the 7th chapter. Lest you think I'm making all this up, let me show you that the Lord admires gratitude. He values gratitude. Look at chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now that's just a dignified way of saying that she was a prostitute. She was a sinner. She was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, can you hear him now? This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, now go back. He said, verse 39, he spake within himself. He didn't say it out loud. But wait a minute, the Lord knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so in verse 40, it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon the Pharisee. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Oh, did he ever. And he saith, Master, say on. Hypocrite. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, well, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, get ready now. Seest this woman? Seest thou this woman? Simon, I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, which, by the way, was the custom to do. You were just rude if you didn't do that. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hast washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hast anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus values a grateful heart. Now just stay in church. I mean, you ought to just be running back to church. I mean, Sunday, I'm preaching to the choir right now, right? Because you're here. But Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, a revival meeting, missions conference. I mean, you just need to be thankful for what the Lord has done for you. Hey, folks, think about it. You don't have to go to hell now. You have an eternity that is before you with a mansion there. It's got your name on the front of it, all because Jesus has cleansed you of your spiritual leprosy. Man, you ought to be thankful for that. Stay with it. Stay at his feet. Stay grateful. Stay worshipful. Stay thankful for what he has done. For this is pleasing to God, who is accustomed to receiving praise and worship and glory. But there's one more thing I need you to see. Secondly, we glean not only from this passage that the Lord values gratitude, but there's a second thing that I saw here I want to call to your attention. And I really didn't take this out of the text, to be honest with you. The text has no... There is nothing here about what I'm going to say. You say, well, where are you getting this? I'm getting this from experience. We glean from experience that the one who came back, the one, can get prideful. Now, he really can. Now, again, there's no evidence in this situation that this man did what I'm about to suggest to you. But from experience, sometimes the one out of the 10 that comes back gets a little prideful, and that pride can lead him to become critical of the other 9. Where's the other 9? Well, sadly, some are here and some are there. But I want you to notice, folks, going back to the text now in the 17th chapter, I want you to notice that this question that was asked by the Lord, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I mean, really, it's two questions. And I want you to notice that it's rhetorical. There's no answer here. The answer is obvious. The answer, everybody knew the answer. It was a rhetorical question. The Lord used the rhetorical question in order to make a point. And you'll notice that he really didn't give anybody any time to answer. Where's the other 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? The implication is that, truth be told, all 10 should have stopped, turned, and come running back and fallen at his feet. There really are no excuses for the other 9. They should have come back with the one that did come back, and shame on them for not coming. But now think about it. When the one heard the question, and the other 9 were on their way to the priest, they didn't hear it. But when the one heard the question, I submit to you that he was put right away in a precarious spot. You say, well, why do you say that? Because, you see, there was another standing by who heard the question asked by Jesus. And when he heard that, he didn't miss the point, and he saw a perfect opportunity to attack. That one that I'm speaking about is the devil. And you can be assured that the devil does not want this man at Jesus' feet. And folks, I've witnessed in 32 years of pastoring, I've witnessed the devil come and launch every weapon in his arsenal against that one that comes back. You see, the devil doesn't want you to praise God. He doesn't want you to be thankful. He doesn't want you to praise the Lord. He doesn't want you on your face with a loud voice praising the Lord for what he's done for you. So the attack begins, and I've seen it over and over and over and over, and I mark it down. It's a relentless attack. So it's obvious the other nine should have been there. Shame they didn't hear the question. Shame they didn't hear it. They were just so glad to be cleansed. They're on their way to the priest. They are so excited. They're going to get to go back to their families. Now they're going to get to go back to society. Shame they didn't hear it. The Lord is standing there looking at one out of the ten. And he says, were there not ten of you cleansed? They didn't hear that. But this guy did. And boy, when that question was asked, that gave the devil a thought. I'm going to use that against this guy. I'm going to wear him out with this. And boy, mark it down. I've seen it more than once. The one that comes back will sometimes get a little prideful. Now again, let me say it. There's no mention that this fellow did. And I think that that's because he is put here as a pattern for all of us to follow. We're all to be like the one. But I've seen it. I know you've seen it. You've told me you've seen it. I know you. If you've been in the ministry for any length of time, you've seen it over and over and over. Now, our pride leads us to several attitudes. This pride that comes, the devil comes at us, and several attitudes can be created here. Let me give you two, and I'll close. First of all, one attitude I've seen is this. The one will say, well, why didn't the nine come back? I came back. Maybe they weren't really cleansed. Maybe they weren't really cleansed. In other words, here's what some say. They must not really be saved like me. Now, folks, again, look at verse 14. They were all cleansed. They all ten cried out for mercy. They all ten got cleansed. All ten were cleansed when they, by faith, obeyed the word of the Lord and turned to go to the priest to show themselves. And look at verse 17. Jesus himself said, were there not ten cleansed? All ten were cleansed. And I'm tired of this Pharisaical attitude that we see from time to time where the one who comes back sits in judgment of the nine because they don't. Be careful, Christian. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is a decision of the heart. The salvation of a man's soul is a heart decision. And you and I cannot see the heart of another man. But God does. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the inward. And dear friend, be careful. Be careful. Here's another attitude. The one who comes back can get. Here's another attitude. Well, what's the use to win people to Christ? They aren't going to come to church anyway. Better watch that attitude. And let me ask you a question. Are you trying to win them to church or to Christ? Who are you trying to win them to? You trying to win them to the church or to Christ? You know, I don't read anywhere in this book that I'm to win anybody to the church. I'm to win them to Jesus. I'm to win them to Jesus. I mean, can the church save them? No. Can the church even get one soul to heaven? No. That's why we lead them to Christ, not the church. And once they get saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit that indwelled them when they got saved will start to work on them. Hey, that's what happened to you. That's why you're here. Don't sit around here and be critical of the nine. You don't know what the Lord's doing in their lives. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, some of you didn't do like the one immediately either. Now, some of you didn't. Some of you, you know, you got saved and you were glad you got saved and thankful you got saved, but you continued to go to, you know, that mausoleum thing you went to before you got saved. And all of a sudden the Lord starts to speak to your heart and you're going to realize, wait a minute, this had nothing to do with Jesus. And it took you a while to get here, but you finally got here. Hallelujah. Don't be critical of the other nine. You don't know what the Lord's doing to them. Listen, folks, I think people think this way without thinking this way. I'm not sure I agree with what I just said. I think I know what you think I thought I meant. I mean, I think some of us are this way without consciously being this way. You know, we would never say we're this way, but I think we're this way. I'm so confused. Well, don't even try to do that, all right? We need some WD-40 up here in the deaf section. You got to lubricate his fingers. I think some of us, you know, it's almost, we're not this way, but it's almost like we're this way. Excuse me, sir, if you were to die today, you know you go to heaven. Well, no, I don't know that. Well, let me take the Bible and show you. And you go through the plan of salvation with him and you get him. Now, if God will take you just like you are, will you take God just as he is? And say, well, yeah, wait a minute. Now, sir, I got an affidavit here that says that once you get saved, you're going to attend the Church of the Open Door. And you're going to tithe 10%. And you're going to sit in your assigned seat every service. And you're going to join the choir and eventually get to a teaching ministry. And, sir, if you'll just sign right here on the bottom line here, I'll go ahead and let you pray and receive Christ as your Savior. So I'm about that way. That's sometimes the attitude that some folks display. That's sometimes the attitude. And folks, I want to serve notice on you that not every one of you came running back immediately. Not every one of you did. Now, you need to be a little bit more patient with the other nine. You need to pray for the other nine. You need to encourage them. I mean, let's suppose this guy gets off his knees after the Lord has to journey on. He gets up, he's made whole, he turns around and he's walking back and he's shouting and praising God. And here come the other nine out of the temple and they're all happy because they just got declared clean by the priest. And they see their new friend and they say, yeah, man, where you been? He goes, look at me. Look at me. Wow, how'd you get that? I went back and thanked him. Now, there's no story in there that tells us that the nine eventually got back. But I'll guarantee you, those towns weren't all that big. And I can just about guarantee that somewhere along the way, the nine ran into the one. And the nine started thinking, whoa, where'd he go? You with me? You don't know what the Lord's doing in somebody else's life. You just don't know. Again, folks, it is a given that all 10 should have come. But not all 10 did. But thank God the one did. I mean, praise the Lord for that. But understand the one was doing what he should have been doing. And I just think that if those of us who are the one out of the 10 would just simply do what we're supposed to do, fall at his feet, and worship and praise him for cleansing us, we'd soon find ourselves in the same condition, made whole. Thank God for cleansing. I mean, I'm sure every man who prays and calls upon the name of the Lord and gets saved is indeed thankful that they're saved. But folks, it's just icing on the cake for us when we come to the Lord and thank Him, fall at His feet and thank Him, and the Lord turns around and says, "Be thou made whole." You see, I'm not only saved and on my way to heaven, but I have a wonderful place to serve the Lord called the Church of the Open Door. I'm not only saved and on my way to heaven, but I have one of the greatest church families in the world sitting right here tonight. Folks, you know, I tell you that, you just sit there and say, "Yeah, right. He prayed that tonight." He prayed. I didn't tell him to pray that. I'm going to pay him for it after church, but I never told him to pray that. Thank God for this church. I'm on my way to heaven, but man, I get to pastor the Church of the Open Door. Woo! Doesn't get much better than that. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to heaven, but hey, I get to work with the finest staff in America. I'm saved on my way to heaven. I've been cleansed, but I get to sit and listen to the greatest choir every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Man, my life has changed. My life has changed. My thinking has changed. My attitude has changed. My heart is changed. I'm not the same old worldly-minded person that I was before Jesus cleansed me. I'm saying that by coming back, the Lord has made me whole. And boy, He'll do the same for everybody that comes back. Thank God the one came back. Hey, folks, thank God you came back. Amen.